Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We are here with you till 10 a.m. this morning, as we are each and every Monday through Friday. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. I propagandized myself with everything that the Astros put out. When there's a graphic on the screen during a game, I look at them or I take pictures of them. Those are my show notes. And just know, Sean, don't worry about anything, because they have the number one batting average in the league at home and the number two OPS at home, okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
They have the 20th ERA, but don't worry about that. Just let's focus on the positive for now. All
at
right?
home, you said, at home. Yeah. They have. Okay, yeah. That's cool. They're going on a seven-game road trip now. I don't know if you
Hunter Brown is a shepherd who lets all the sheep out of the pasture in the first and second innings. Rather than that, let's not focus on the first and second innings, okay?
No,
can we focus on 3-4 2/3, or however many goes on any given day?
I made a big mistake with Hunter Brown yesterday. The first was buying tickets to a game that Hunter Brown was pitching. That was my first mistake.
Amy, well, and showing up on time.
And then, well, we got there the first couple. We got there at like noon. You know, it's like Sunday. We don't, you know, we went and ate breakfast and like, all right, it's 10:45. Let's just head to the game. What are we going to do? Go home and sit and stare at each other for an hour? So we went to the game. We got there early, which was cool. You know, we got to walk around the park and just chill. And then I made the second mistake I made. First one was buying a ticket to a Hunter Brown start. The second one was after he put the first two runners on and then struck out the 3, 4, and 5 hitters, I tweeted, man, Hunter Brown maybe turned a corner here. You know, because in previous starts, he would have let that spin wildly out of control, right? He definitely would not have struck out the 3, 4, and 5 hitters. And you know how sexy I think Hunter Brown strikeouts are. So I was very excited about that. And then he proceeded to put like the next five guys on base in the second inning, plunked the first guy of the inning. So I just retweeted it and I said, never mind. Never mind.
You know, it's you in a lot of ways with strikeouts, you're kind of the same way people were after they invented the breast augmentation surgery in the city of Houston, which was, there was about a decade where people went crazy for like absurdly oversized, unrealistic, no way in hell that happens in nature. And you're like, yeah, like those people are like, yeah, that's what I want to marry for the next 50 years.
Right.
And now you're realizing like, oh, Here, I should have gone for something more reasonable. Like the strikeouts. These strikeouts are sexy and all, but they don't seem to matter as much when every at-bat that's not a strikeout is a 17-run home run.
Similarly, I'm not alone. Baseball really likes the strikeouts, too. You know, like the same way people liked all those boob jobs back in the day.
They thought they did for a while. No, but they've changed all the rules of baseball to try to eradicate the strikeouts as much as possible.
Right. And that's where we are in this transition stage right now. The other thing... It was funny, too, after Hunter Brown got taken out in the fifth inning after throwing like 98 pitches. I got a tweet from somebody like in the sixth inning as the Astros had yet to score a run going, I can't believe they wasted this good start by Hunter Brown. And I'm like, boy, this for you at least, sir, the scale has slid now with Hunter Brown, obviously.
It wasn't sarcastic?
No, it definitely was not.
So it wasn't like the fact that it wasn't a complete and total meltdown.
Right, but he only gave up two runs, and I'm like, he threw 100 pitches in 4 1/3 innings. What are we doing here? Yeah. Not a great weekend. Although I saw Adam Spillane retweeting somebody who was saying they looked at it as they went 3-3 against two division leaders in the American League over the six games.
Right. Okay.
You know, like they won the series against the Indians. They lost the series against the Mariners. You do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. You went 3-3 against two of the better teams in the American League. But the problem is you're 12-22 right now. Like 3-3 ain't going to cut it for much longer.
Right, yeah. Right. This is how much ground can you gain in X amount of time, really, before the trade deadline?
Yeah.
Or before approaching the trade deadline.
Yes.
You got to do better than 3-3, whether the division champions or not. Yeah, like not every series is going to be Colorado in Mexico City.
Yeah.
It's you're not
right,
going
to. Right. Not even close. That's what I wonder is behind closed doors, do they have a date and a record they need to be by, or record they need to be by a certain date?
Right.
To really take a hard look at things. All right, do we move Bregman? Who knows what Bregman fetches right now? He was terrible again this weekend. Like, do we move Kyle Tucker and really re-enhance our farm system because he's not staying after 2025? I'm just hypothetically saying he's not staying. He doesn't have a contract
yet.
You know, Framber Valdez, any of the pitchers. You know, the pitchers are of all those guys. The pitchers are what's going to fetch, other than Tucker, who's a superstar. The thing that's going to fetch you anything are pitchers, you know, Verlander, you know, that's a conversation that would need to be had.
What if they tore it all down to the studs? What if Jim Crane said, hey, we've done this once before. And you got to deal with a lot of criticism for a few years. But man, we've done it once before. Let's do it again.
I don't know that they need to. That's what I'm trying to think. Like, OK, if you trade Bregman, you move Verlander. I don't think they're going to trade Tucker. You know, then what's left behind here? I mean, you still have Yordan Alvarez. You still got Altuve for 5 more years. You just signed him. You've got Jeremy Pena, who's an ascending star at shortstop. You've got Yainer Diaz.
Incredible plays this week.
He did. Yeah. He did. So I don't know that it's. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You trade everybody, and now all of a sudden you've got the best. You can be 60 wins next year and have the best minor league system in baseball. Or you can continue to muck it into the playoffs, possibly for the next 3 or 4 years. I think Jim Crane would rather have the latter. I think he'd rather see where you can go with this. Because
the way you framed it was mucking it into the playoffs. Jim Crane would prefer mucking it into the playoffs
versus tearing it back down to the studs. I think. Yeah. I think he would. I think he would.
Were you just
better baseball? Sorry about that, Seth. It's a much better baseball team than the team they actually did tear down to the studs in 2009 and 2010, is my point.
Right.
The record today notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that's what I think you'd rather do. That's what I think you'd
I
rather
can't remember which what night was JJ's softball game? Was it Friday or
Saturday? Saturday night.
Saturday.
Yep.
So which the play, the three-card Monty play in the down the third base foul line when three players converged on a fly ball, and it looked like Jeremy Pena had caught it going into the stands.
Yeah.
So it looked like he Derek Jeter'd it.
Yeah.
And then you go to the replay, and like, nope, that was Loperfido.
Loperfido.
That was incredible. Yep. That was my favorite. I would have lost so much money on that if they had asked me who caught that ball.
I didn't see it live because I was at the JJ softball game, but I had to watch a video 15 times. Like, I'm like, that guy caught the ball? Well, and just watching it too, just watching that play develop, it's like you're watching it in total slow motion as it's going live, because I'm like, these three guys are all going to run into each other, and the season is going to end in one gigantic explosion in left field right now.
It was really the most exciting part of this series was there were multiple really close calls on fly balls.
Yes.
The Mariners had one where the one dude swiped it out of the other one's hands before glove, like before he even realized what was happening.
Yeah, man.
So that was fun. We got to watch that.
Good times.
We got to watch a bunch of near death. Yeah.
Yep.
It was like Faces of Death, but heavily edited to avoid all the death.
You worst Faces of Death ever. No death.
I paid $19.99 for this VHS.
That's right.
Okay, I didn't pay for it. I dubbed it off my buddy.
Watch Faces of Death 15 last week with fewer deaths. Speaking of the J.J. Watt Charity Classic, he got people talking this weekend quite a bit. This was in the pregame. He had his charity softball game on Saturday night out at Constellation Field. I was out there for it. Brandon Scott, Figgy, we were all out there for the game. It was great. It was an awesome. It's my favorite charity event. I'm so glad he brought it back. It was really, really good. And this year it was current Texans against the Texans legends. I've got a lot of observations on this game at 7 o'clock today. But the big quote that was trending, that had everybody talking, it was a bullet on ESPN. Here was J.J. Watt in response to a question from Brandon Scott about the temptation of coming back to play.
How do you resist, J.J., all of the names that you listed and D'Amico? Obviously, you know D'Amico, haven't played with him. How do you, the competitor in you, resist like the not being that far removed from playing? How do you resist the temptation?
Oh, I mean, I'm a very fortunate, lucky man. I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I mean, I told D'Amico last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. And he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, but he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him, but I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
So you're saying if four defensive ends go down by week 12?
I very much don't want that to ever be the case. I hope that everybody stays extremely healthy and they dominate and they don't need any other bodies, and I just get to watch and enjoy from the couch.
Okay, that was Ari Alexander who asked the follow-up question there about the defensive ends getting hurt. I think two things, Seth, that one, we've not heard that before, that he actually had a conversation with D'Amico about this last year.
Right.
And two, he did acknowledge there that I guess his workouts have been more geared over the last 2 years to still being able to come back to play, because he said there, this will be the last year that I'm paraphrasing now, but like this will be the last year I'm working out the way that I'm working out.
Right. Yeah. So the fact that I think he thinks he's working out in the same way that he'd be actually ready to play football
makes me
feel like, more so than ever, whether it's with the Texans or somebody else, that he might be cool with signing with a playoff contender midway through the season this year. The fact that he had told D'Amico that last year, and that I guess he feels like he's working out hard enough to come back and play, it makes me feel like we're being less frivolous than it felt at times to talk about a comeback last year.
And making it a topic a few days a week, yeah.
Yeah, now it turns it kind of into like, okay, hey, D'Amico, you had multiple injuries on the defensive line in the second half of last season. You got this guy just waiting to pop up. You could have shown that J.J. Watt silhouette up in the sky at any point. And he would have showed up.
Yeah.
And what was wrong with J.J. back then?
It makes you wonder, because they lost Grenard for a period of time. They lost Will Anderson for a period of time. There was a period where Derek Barnett was your best pass rusher. What exactly does an emergency look like to D'Amico Ryans? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many guys need to go down?
Maybe D'Amico didn't think he was serious. Maybe, or there's always the, I don't know, maybe there was a contract. Maybe JJ has an expectation for how much he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like, he's probably doesn't want to come back and do it for the minimum, I would guess.
Right.
Just that, you know, you risk an injury and everything.
Right.
You got to make it worth your while. It might be as simple as that look, he wants a certain amount of money and it wasn't emergency enough to pay that money to an aging guy that's been banged up a lot and hasn't played football the first half of the season.
There you go. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. I got my observations on the J.J. softball game, several that are current Texan related. That'll be at the top of the hour. Let's circle back to the Astros. These free agency signings these last couple years, boy, they've got to have Jim Crane a little bit gun-shy right now, including another blown save yesterday. What would this team look like if the bullpen was just average? We will discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I will circle back to J.J. Watt, kind of leaving the door open a little bit for a comeback at his softball game on Saturday. A lot of people waiting. One text I want to hit here before we circle back to the Astros. Because J.J., while he was a little less clear about whether or not he's coming back, he was clear that he might come back. One thing he was clear about, he's not coaching. Text message. J.J. should come coach. He ain't coaching. He was very, very clear about that. He said he loves the act of coaching guys. He does not like the thought of being a coach where you show up to, quote him, 5 a.m. and stay till 9 p.m. every day.
Yeah, it's a grind, man. That's why, like, talking somebody into coaching never works. You can't cajole somebody into coaching. They've got to really, really want to do it. That's why it was so absurd that anybody ever thought Tony Romo would be a good offensive coordinator. The guy can't be bothered to study for the games that he's going to talk about for a few hours a day. There's no way in hell he's going to study it for 90 hours.
That's right.
For less money, mind you.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that's without a burning desire to go into it, it's not going to happen.
Yep. So the Astros, they lose yesterday 5-4. Felt bad, man. Singleton hit that home run to put him up 4-3. I'm like, man, Singleton's got three home runs, and two of them came in huge spots in this homestand. I feel good about Singleton, man. Just we'll see if he can keep this thing going now that they go on the road here.
Yeah, I mean, look, he has been on fire ever since Abreu got sent down to West Palm Beach, and it's. I know he won't ever say that it was tied to that or anything, but just getting those reps and having that trust that you're not going to get yoinked for. You're not going to get yoinked at some time in the game for somebody who's the worst hitter in baseball, for
literally
instance.
Worst hitter in baseball. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. And then Brian Abreu came in, gave up a run in the eighth. Josh Hader comes in, gives up a run in the ninth. I tell you what, with Hader, it ain't for a lack of a routine. Amy and I sat, our favorite seats to sit at Minute Maid Park are the front row right above the Astros bullpen.
Right.
You see a lot of stuff in the bullpen. It's kind of fun. Uh-huh. And, boy, Whereas most of the relievers just kind of sit and chill for most of the game until it's time to get the phone call. Hader starts. I don't know if this is normal. We don't sit. We sat out there five times in our life, maybe, right? But we love those seats, and there were two that were available at a very reasonable price, like many of their tickets these days. So we went on Sunday. Hader has a routine that he starts doing in about the fifth inning to get ready to go in. Yeah, like he one inning, he's there doing like the equivalent of like yoga. You know, he's planking and he's getting on his side. He's during one of the innings, he's got some sort of rubber ball he's throwing against the wall. He has another half inning where he's doing like jumping back and forth, like he's jumping over a an invisible box. He's he is doing something from the fifth inning on, which was a stark contrast to Brian Abreu when he got asked to go in the game, which was, hey, Abreu, get up. And he takes his windbreaker off, throws a few warm-up pitches, and then goes in. I just thought that, this isn't me disrespecting Brian Abreu. It seems like most of the guys do that. Like, right. Hader's routine was, like, I was impressed by that, you know?
It's, you know what, it's always so, it's different when you're the closer, though, too, because you have a more set schedule for when you're actually going to go in, and if they need him or not, or if they use him or not, he can just do that same routine every single night.
Yeah.
For the other guys, it's just a whole different deal, depending on, you know, exactly when you're going to be pressed into duty.
Yeah.
I respect both methods, but I feel like if I were walking around and just all of a sudden, like at any time of day, needed a relief pitcher, Abreu would be my guy. Like if you're in a bar, and all of a sudden,
you don't need these warm-ups. Yeah.
Right. Somebody challenges you to a pitching contest.
Right.
I'm going to Abreu's my guy.
Yeah. You know? No, that's a good point. Hater's like, no, I'm going to need 45 minutes to do Pilates, yoga, and calisthenics. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like, if you're going to get into a fist fight in a bar, if somebody was like, well, hold on a second, I need to warm
Abreu's
up.
Abreu's like, time out. Yeah. Like, I got to go.
Sir,
yeah.
sir, you have disrespected me. You just wait 20 minutes and there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, here's the thing. Neither approach worked yesterday.
Yeah, they all got their ass.
Abreu came in and gave up a run. Yeah. Hader came in and gave up a bomb.
Abreu got hit with a broken beer bottle.
Yep.
They all just got taken to task.
They did. Here's Joe Espada, and basically saying it's when your leverage guys don't come through, it's not good.
It sucks because that's the kind of the way you plan for the game, and you get there and you got the guys that you believe in, and I keep believing in those guys because those guys are really good. We just gotta get the job done. We gotta put guys away. We're better than that.
Yeah, that's got to be the hardest part for not just the Espada, but probably Crane too. Is that Hader felt like a luxury splurge, right? You had a closer already, and Ryan Presley, who was very serviceable. He's not Hader, but he's very serviceable. You had Brian Abreu back there to set up. I mean, you had a bullpen that was, you know, at the back end at least was, the last couple of years has been among the best in baseball. It looks a little different than a lot of teams' closers with Presley there. He's not a hammer, but he gets guys out. And then you splurge, you go over the competitive balance tax to sign Josh Hader. And the reason you do that, Seth, is so that you go, okay, when all else fails, at least we know if we get into the seventh inning with a lead, we go Abreu, we go Presley, we go Hader, and we go home. And that's it. And we're done. And I mean, to say that it's not working that way is a massive, massive understatement. It's the eighth blown save of the year for these guys.
It's a shame because the bullpen over the last week has improved on the whole and in total. It's just that, that hammer at the end or even the last three innings that you're expecting that you can rely upon, it's just not there.
No.
And so if I try to hang my hat on the things that are positive about this, again, the relief staff showed a lot of improvement on the whole over the past week. And then batting, there's all these weird stats where they're leading the league in batting average and second in OPS and all these other things, and yet they're still not scoring all that many runs.
Yeah.
But there's all these things that it's easy at the beginning of the season to say, well, this water will find its level, right? The pendulum will swing back the other way. They've had a little bit of bad luck or whatever. But the time's running out on all of that.
Yeah.
At some point, whether it's hitting with runners in scoring position or not making absurdly idiotic errors, both on the base paths and in the field, like all these various things that accumulate, I don't know when you just flush it all completely down the toilet before the trade deadline, but they got to get it going.
That's a good point, because when they had a bad first week, right, they get swept by the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, they start the season 2-5, you know, 3-10, whatever it was. And people are going, well, it's a 162-game season. We're at the stage now. And by the way, they go on the road to play the Yankees tomorrow. You know, like it's – so they're going on the road to play the Yankees. They're going on the road to play Detroit, who's a lot better than people thought they would be this year. The fact of the matter is that the chances are if they're going on the road to play anybody, they have a better record than the Houston Astros right now. So the we're getting to a stage where you can't go, well, it's a 162-game season. We're getting to a stage at 12-22 where it's really like a 110-game season, you know, because you've got to be – they're going to need – if they're being practical about it and not delusional about it, they're going to need to be at a certain record. In my mind, if I were running things, they would need to be at a certain record by like the middle – between mid-June and early July.
Yeah.
Before I say, okay, we've really got to start fishing around for some takers on this guy, and that guy. Because we're not going to do a tear it down to the studs reset. Because I just don't think they're going to do that. But we're going to do a reset of some sort here and try to at least supplement our minor league system. Knowing that like we're going to take the L on this season. Our streak of 7 straight ALCSs is going to be over. And now the goal is to do like in basketball what Golden State did when they had some injuries and things like that. You know, they finish high in the draft, they draft some young guys, and then they come back and mostly around the old guys, they go back and they're able to kind of grind their way to another championship. You know, that kind
the,
of thing.
We were supposed to start doing this was to come in with a projected record based where they are right now.
Yeah.
Cuz after they, you know, they went 3-3 versus whatever. They're on pace for 57 wins right now.
Okay.
So does that get you into the playoffs with these expanded playoffs?
I'm checking right now to see if a 57-win team got into the playoffs.
Is that in play?
No. They would need 33 more wins than that to get into the playoffs.
When was it that the Houston Chronicle declared the 2005 Astros dead?
15 and 30, they declared them dead. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We're getting there.
So we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, but we're 3-8 away from that.
We're 8 games. Oh, three. Yeah.
They're 12-22 right now. So they go 3-8 over their next 11 games, which is in play. Then they would be
the Yankees and against the
Detroit.
Oh, yeah, Detroit.
Detroit. And then they come back home where they've just been outstanding for the last, you know, however long.
Detroit's 18-16 right now.
Yeah, yeah, they're better than expected. They're a decent baseball team. The Astros are not a decent base. They come home for four against Oakland, and normally I'd be like, oh, thank God. But Oakland's better than the Astros right now. And by the way, Oakland was the team that they were supposed to clinch everything against last year and not have to worry about the last week of the season.
Sean, the A's are only 4.5 games better than the Astros
crazy.
Right now.
Yeah. It's wild, man. It is.
Well, but the Rangers or the Angels they're dead even with the Angels. So the race to beat the Angels, you know, aided by yet another Mike Trout injury, is it's very much in play.
Relentlessly not in last place, the Astros, for sure. Mm-hmm. Good text here. A lot of thoughts on the Astros. A lot of thoughts on J.J. Watt coming in, too. Let's hit a few of these. If we have to tear it down to the studs, I don't trust Crane and Bagwell to rebuild it. That's fair. Now, the thing I do trust Dana Brown when it comes to evaluation of young players, like prospects they would get in these. I mean, the prospects they would get in these trades, these are all guys that Dana Brown has probably scouted. The Atlanta Braves are where they are right now in Major League Baseball and have been over the last few years in no small part due to Dana Brown and the scouting that he did in Atlanta, that young core. You know?
Yeah, that's...
Crane and Bagwell too much.
Well, and I think, too, if you go and you look at, okay, why take Dana Brown and what were the... You know, what were his traits that Crane really wanted? You got to rebuild that pipeline. And that's what you have to hope for. And the issue with that is that, man, that takes a few years to figure out.
Yes.
So, a lot of the times, if Dana Brown can make it through these next few years, then maybe he'll have the chance to reap the benefits of the drafting and the signing of international free agents and whatnot now, but we'll see.
Yep.
It's a lot of work underneath the surface that you don't find out about for a couple of years.
I can't believe these are the conversations we're having about the Astros.
Can't you though? I mean, it's been however many years.
No, I know, but it's May 6th. You know, we're talking about trading Bregman and Verlander at the trade deadline.
Well, and then for the team on paper that looked much, much, much stronger than this. You know, as evidenced by just about everybody's opinion, including Vegas, headed into the season.
Yeah.
And still by the odds in a lot of respects. They're still with a healthy chance of making the playoffs, according to Fangraphs.
Yeah. Yeah, coin flip, which for a 12-22 team, coin flip, I'd take it right now. J.J. Watt, if you missed it, told D'Amico Ryan, or he said in his press conference before the softball game on Saturday that he had told D'Amico Ryan's last year that if you need me to call me, but only if you absolutely need me. And this text message says, JJ is like Ross and Rachel on Friends when she said that sex was never off the table after they'd broken up. LOL. I don't know if it's a perfect analogy.
I don't remember that.
I didn't watch Friends.
I stopped watching. I watched until the Ross and Rachel stuff got to be just so damn annoying.
Yeah.
It's just because Ross got so pathetic. Almost ruined an entire generation of young men into thinking that being pathetic was the way to go about it.
Rach. I hate David Schwimmer so much.
So Rachel said that sex was off the table.
No. Sex was never off the table.
Never
off,
yeah.
Yeah. Text message. Bring in JJ in week 16. A couple games as a limited rotation rusher to get the rust off. Playoff morale boost going into the postseason. If they're heading into the postseason, I don't know that they need a morale boost. I've never seen a depressed Texans team heading into the postseason, except maybe 2012 when they lost 3 out of 4 down the stretch.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean you need a morale boost, but it's an added morale boost.
I guess.
Morale can be good and then get better.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
You know, a little bit of infusion of energy when everybody's starting to run on fumes. Yep. That might be really good. I think it just depends on what the actual scenario is. And then maybe also, I don't know, maybe the Texans didn't feel that great about like where JJ was physically or didn't trust that he would be okay to come back, whereas maybe this year it'd be different.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. It'd be fun. It'd be cool. It'd be great for radio for sure. Speaking of which, we'll have JJ's comments for you coming up in the next segment, which is headlines. The Astros lose 2 out of 3. JJ Watt gets everybody excited. We had a retirement of a Texans legend, at least a Texan who made a legendary play back in the day, and a whole lot more. We got a lot of NFL news to get to as well. And headlines, that is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Astros. They lose yesterday 5-4. They had a 4-3 lead heading into the eighth, and then Brian Abreu gave up a run in the eighth to tie the game. Josh Hader gives up a home run in the ninth inning to lose the game. 5-4, so they go 3-3 on this homestand. They're off today, and then it's off to New York to face the Yankees and Detroit to face the Tigers. The Astros tied for last in the AL West. Espada said following yesterday's game that, yeah, they lost, but he doesn't see this as a setback.
I think we play well. You know, we could have 6 more outs and we could have won that game. I think we just got to do a better job of, playing 27 outs clean baseball. But I don't see that as a setback. I see it as we're close. We got an off day tomorrow. We go to New York, and we just got to get after it.
Yeah, just six outs sounds like a lot. That's yeah, like all we got to do is play six more outs. It's kind of the problem, isn't it? If you,
yeah, those outs count.
yeah, that's all you got to do. I always say, all it was 0.4 of a second on my 40 that they kept me from really being an all-pro performer. That's all. Just 0.4 of a second.
Six
outs is a lot.
It is a lot. This is where I start to wonder, and the deeper we get into the season, I wonder more and more, like, okay, is the spot of the right type of manager for this group? They've watched a lot of leadership go out the door, you know, the last few years with Correa and Brantley. Hector Neris was a big leader in the bullpen, and especially among the Latin American players. They've watched a lot of guys like that leave this organization over the last few years. And Espada, at least 34 games in, seems to be the ultimate player's manager. Like, he, after every loss, that we've gotten that after they're 12-22. Like, at some point, they need a kick in the ass from somebody. Verlander reportedly tried to do it a week, right? Like a week and a half ago. Verlander, remember? Yeah. I forget who it was, said after the game, but they won a game, and Verlander, someone said, you know, one of the players pointed out that Verlander gave him a talking to that said they need to pull their head out, you know, their butts, basically.
Right, right.
And I just, you know, I wonder. This is a group that it's a very talented group, but it's not one that I look at and I go, okay, there's an alpha, there's an alpha, there's an alpha. It's a lot of guys that are really, really talented baseball players. And I just wonder, I wonder, would they be 12-22 if Dusty Baker were the manager?
Right. Know? Well, it's not like Dusty Baker was out there, you know, tearing into people or anything either. It's, Dusty Baker was very much put an arm around you. And you know, tell you you're awesome more so than anything else, and like, it, but maybe his way with people, the very thing he was hired for when the Astros were in turmoil, mm-hmm. like his way of perhaps motivating, on a case by case basis, there might just be the people skills there that Espada doesn't have.
Yeah.
It might also just be the fact that, yeah, everybody's a year older. Would Bregman have been any better with Dusty Baker or AJ Hinch right now?
No, it's a fair point. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know, but I get what you're saying. I wonder if how this management style is going to do as this season slides further and further into oblivion. You know, like
but look, if you look at his management style, like look at him compared to Dusty, he's been way more cutthroat when it comes to like, okay, Abreu.
He has.
Abreu got moved to the back of the lineup.
Yep.
Toot sweet.
Yep.
Not whereas Dusty, it was like, oh, nope, can't move that immovable rock. We need that drain right there.
No.
Gonna stick that drain right there.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. It's complicated, man. I don't know what to do with this team right now.
And I say that as somebody that I always felt like Dusty got too much blame. I didn't think that it was... There were a lot of things that I had questions with, but it got to the point where almost every bad thing was getting blamed on Dusty.
Yeah.
The fact that there were no pitchers to pitch at various points, it was somehow blamed on him that he wasn't managing guys right through injuries, but there just weren't easy solutions. This is just an all-around disappointment in so many areas that it's hard for me to pin the lion's share of it on a spot.
Oh yeah, and to be clear, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just I'm just wondering like with just six more outs, I don't see it as a setback, bro. You're 12-22 right now. Like someone needs a kick in the ass, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. Like so, I'll just be anxious to see how that all plays out and to see how it plays out for Espada personally. Like if they just have an awful year and they're out of the playoff picture by August, like is Espada a one and done? Like I could see that. Like that's a possibility,
right?
You know,
okay, look at the issues there are right now. Like how much of it do you think is somebody else could have done better? All right, maybe Hunter Brown and JP France just aren't good major league pitchers.
Yeah.
All right, I don't blame Espada for that. The pitcher injuries for the guys that are theoretically good major league pitchers. Likewise, that's been the biggest issue.
I think if there were to be a pound of flesh extracted, like a sacrifice made to try to kick everybody in the ass, yeah, I still think it's going to be fire the pitching coaches. or a one of the two pitching coaches, you know, just because sometimes that's you reach a point in the season like we got to do something just to wake people up around here. You know, yeah,
Josh Miller walked out there yesterday and I kind of like you're left wondering, all right, what's he going to tell? What's he going to tell Hunter Brown?
Right. And the guy and the bullpen and the young guys are getting worse, not better. It's going to be interesting. J.J. Watt at his charity softball game on Saturday, seemingly leaving the door open to come back and play for your Houston Texans. Here was Brandon Scott asking J.J. Watt how the competitor in you resists the temptation to come back and play.
How do you resist, J.J., all of the names that you listed and D'Amico? Obviously, you know D'Amico, haven't played with him. How do you, the competitor in you, resist, like, the not being that far removed from playing? How do you resist the temptation?
Oh, I mean, I'm a very fortunate, lucky man. I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I told D'Amico last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. But he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, but he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him, but I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
So you're saying if four defensive ends go down by week 12?
I very much don't want that to ever be the case. I hope that everybody stays extremely healthy and they dominate and they don't need any other bodies, and I just get to watch and enjoy it from the couch.
So that's the first we've heard of a conversation between the two of them. You know, actually, substantive talks about coming back, possibly.
It's a tricky one. I'm trying to put myself in D'Amico's shoes if somebody says that to me. Like, well, don't call me unless you absolutely 100% need me. I might be reluctant to call that person just because, not because I'd be afraid of putting JJ out or anything, but yeah, I guess you just kind of wonder, all right, with the culture we're building and for everything that we want in terms of guys that are just hungry and driving for it and everything, I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of like, oh, I don't want a guy that's going to feel like he's been pressed into duty or anything. Which, of course, like we're already reading way too much into this.
Sure.
I think the fact that JJ is open to it, and the fact that JJ is like obviously in shape, and I think is going to show up, would show up ready to perform, it makes me feel like, at the very least, is it better than a 50% chance that he plays somewhere before the end of this season?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
Do you think it's Texans or Steelers or nothing?
I think it's Texans or nothing, if you want to know the truth.
You wouldn't even go up with TJ?
Maybe. No, that's logic. I just don't know that the Steelers have a chance to really do much this year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I would guess that, total guess, but I would guess that it's part and parcel of, like, if D'Amico really needed him and the Texans were 4-8, you know, JJ might go, oh, well, I'm sorry, my arm is broken. I don't know if I told
you. That is true. When they really need him, it will be, like, in not the situation that JJ would prefer to come back.
Yeah.
I suppose if they're making if they make the playoffs and they got a bunch of young guys that are rushing the passer well and what have you, then, yeah, it might not. It makes more sense. It makes more sense for JJ there, but D'Amico's less likely to say we really need you.
I'll tell you what he unwittingly did is he kind of put it squarely on D'Amico. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if there are issues rushing the passer, injuries or not, if they're having and I can't imagine this team having trouble getting to the passer with Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, D'Amico Autry, etc. out there.
Right.
So I can't imagine that scenario, but let's pretend it plays out. They don't have injuries. They're just struggling on defense. Then people are going to be going, D'Amico, call JJ. Call JJ. Like he said, if you call him and you need him, he'll come back, you know?
Right. Then it becomes a big overarching thing that it's a shadow that looms over everything.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be somebody out there that is always going to just blame D'Amico. I mean, for not bringing JJ back.
For sure.
If it's
especially
point.
Now. He said what he said, yeah.
D'Amico was... Was D'Amico playing for the former Texans or the current Texans?
The Legends. He was with Legends, on JJ's team. Yeah, he was on JJ's team.
Who was the best softball player out there?
Leckler won the home run derby. We'll get into this in the next segment. I've got my softball game observations in the next segment. By the way, Duke Johnson retired. Duke Johnson, former Texan. We'll always have third and 18.
One of Bill O'Brien's reasonable trades.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Conditional fourth, it became a third. So We'll mix that in a little bit in the 8-8. But yeah, Duke Johnson. Yeah, that was actually a decent Bill O'Brien trade right there for Duke Johnson. He retires after 8 seasons. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Yeah, I was at the J.J. Watt softball game. We'll have J.J.'s comments for you again in case you're just getting into your car and you missed them right now, leaving the door open. But I got a lot more observations, including some on the current Texans. I've got injury observations because, you know, I like to make my injury observations based on things that people are doing other than playing football. And, yes, I will answer Seth's questions. Guys who would be the best player or will be the best player in their slow-pitch softball league someday from the Houston Texans. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.